on Srimad-Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 9, Markandeya Rishi sees the illusion of potency. Text number 7. Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Ittiritto Ritchita Kamham. Krishna Bhagavan Mune.
Krishna Bhagavan Mune.
Tateti Sasmayam Pragat.
Tateti Sasmayam
Pragat. Vajara Shamma Mishvaraha. Sutra Vacha. Sutra Goswami said, Iti in these words, Iditaha glorified, Architaha worshipped, Tamam satisfactorily, Vishina by the sage Markandeya, Bhagavan, personality of Godhead, Mune, a wise samatha. Ya iti, so be it. Saha, he, smayam, smiling. Forgot, departed. Sadari ashramam, the hermitage of the weak ashram. Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. Translation. Sutta Goswami said, the wise Sanaka, thus satisfied by Markandeya's praise and worship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiling, replied, so be it, and then departed to his hermitage at Bhadarika Shram. Translation responsibly. Sutta Goswami said, the wise Shramaka, thus satisfied by Markandeya's praise and worship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiling, replied, so be it. And then departed to his hermitage at Bhadarika Shram. The words Bhagavan and Ishvara in this verse refer to the Supreme Lord in his incarnation as the twin sages Nara and Narayana. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti before, the Supreme Lord smiled ruefully because he prefers that his pure devotees stay away from his illusory energy. Curiosity to see the illusory energy of the Lord sometimes develops into a sinful material desire. Nonetheless, to please his devotee, Markandeya, the Lord granted his request. Just as a father who cannot convince his son to give up pursuing a harmful desire may let him experience some painful reaction so that he will then voluntarily desist. Thus understanding what would soon happen to Markandeya, the Lord smiled as he prepared to display the illusory potency to him. So here, this Markandeya Rishi is said in the previous chapter that he lived for the entire previous day of Brahma and also the might of Brahma. The sages have asked Sutta Goswami to clear up, because there is also a pastime which is being described here, where Markandeya Rishi ended up in the waters of devastation. The universe was devastated And there within the water, as we will see, he later sees the child Krishna floating in the water with his toe in his mouth, floating on a banyan leaf, as the story unfolds. So the sages wanted to understand, because Martindale Rishi, of course, ended up in the water at the time of devastation. Now, they inquired, there has not been such a devastation. There are certain devastations within this day of Brahma, but certainly not the one that's described in the, you know, that very complete and total devastation of water spilling in the universe that is described in the pastime. So they wanted to understand that. So here we understand that the reason it happened, although no such devastation apparently happened in this day of Brahma, was because it was a display of the Lord's illusory potency. So, now of course, Markandeya Rishi, it's interesting that he should ask the Lord to see his illusory potency. You would think after spending an entire day and having that memory, you know, living that long and then living, you know, for the entire duration of the might of Brahma, that you would have had enough, you know, of seeing how the illusory potency works. So it appears that the Lord is also thinking in the same terms, you know, enough is enough, you've seen enough, and I'm going to rectify this situation by giving you, you know, a taste of the material energy in such a way that you'll desist from asking, you know, or trying to see and associate with material energy. So, now, the Lord who is speaking here is in fact Lord Narayan, who appeared as Naranarayan Rishi, twins. in fact, Naranarayan Rishi is non-different from Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna and Arjuna went to see Mahavishnu when the Brahmana's sons were taken. Mahavishnu said to Krishna and Arjuna that you are, you know, non-different. You are Naranarayana Rishi, or they are, you know, expansions of your form. So Markandeya Rishi is described in some of these purports. He is a devotee of Krishna. At the same time, Naranarayana Rishi has appeared before him. So, Markandeya Rishi has meditated for 6 periods of Manu, and then in the 7th period of Manu, in this day of Brahma, this pastime takes place. Each Manu lives for 71 cycles of the 4 yugas. The 4 yugas is a Divya Yuga. Each Manu lives for 71 cycles of those. So 6 Manus have passed, 6 times 71 cycles, and Markandeya Rishi has been meditating upon the Lord. And then we hear that pastime where Lord Indra became a little jealous, and he sent some of the demigods, including Cupid, to try and break his austerities. Because Indra was fearing, as he does sometimes, that you know, he may take my position in the, as the king of heaven, because you know, he's earning that merit. And of course, he sent Cupid and many different apsaras and what have you, And Markandeya Rishi become, although not coming under the influence of the false ego, being attracted by material desire to break his austerities, but he did consider that they needed to be punished for, you know, such an offence to a saint, to a sadhu, and therefore he burned them by his anger. And we see that Cupid is, you know, so sometimes Cupid is called Ananga, and, you know, one who doesn't have a body. So this pastime appeared in this day of Manu, and it would have appeared just at least some time before Krishna, because we know that in the Mahabharata, when the Pandavas were exiled into the forest, Markandeya Rishi came to them and described a little bit about, you know, don't be disturbed, you know, by so many difficulties in this world, and he described to them this pastime, and he said, you know, that that little child who is floating in the water of devastation within the universe, that person is standing there right next to you, that's Krishna. And so Krishna was in the forest with him. He said, that's him. So this pastime would have taken place, you know, in this seventh Manu, sometime before the appearance of Krishna, or the pastimes of Krishna. And here we see that Narayana Rishi, Narayan, is going to display his illusory energy. So, here we see that within the purport, you know, there are, although Markandeya Rishi, his purpose in seeing the material energy is not for the sake of personal desire in the way of trying to, you know, enjoy the material energy. He is, you know, wanting to understand, you know, this particular energy of the Lord. But at the same time, too much association and contemplation upon the Lord's material energy, where it's not required, is harmful, and therefore the Lord will, you know, make him desist from that path of action. In other words, better, you know, he is, as a sadhu, Markandeya Rishi, he's lived for the entire previous day of Brahma. You know, he's meditated, so he must have seen so many different sadhus, so many incarnations. He must have studied so many scriptures. And here he's been meditating for, you know, six manus. So, you know, it's good to step by step understand the different energies of the Lord, beginning with how the Lord deals with the his material creation. But one should certainly move on to understand the pastimes of the Lord, the name. You know, one should be very much interested also in understanding the Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes, activities like that. And primarily, if one is qualified, one should be absorbed in those activities. That is, we see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, definitely, Sukadeva Goswami presents the Srimad Bhagavatam in such a way that the neophyte is, you know, prevented from artificially jumping up to hear about the topics, especially of Lord Krishna, in his pastimes, his name, fame, etc. And there is a lot of discussion about how the Lord deals with this material energy in order that one can perceive that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in fact transcendental. And the various pastimes of his Leela avatars are also discussed in order that one can have complete faith that the Lord's incarnations, his Purusha avatars, the Leela avatars, and the Supreme Lord himself, Lord Sri Krishna, are all transcendental. Having gained that faith, one should then firmly fix one's mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord, not upon the illusory energy. So, you know, there is a progressive moving on, but one should not unnecessarily avoid coming to the position of hearing and chanting about the Lord's name, fame, form, pastimes, and what have you. It's very important. You know, we are recommended to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We don't chant, you know, Jiva Durga, Jiva Durga. Because we're recommended to, you know, fix our mind upon the transcendental name, form, fame, pastimes of the Lord. Actually, that is the that's the only desire of a devotee. A devotee doesn't care about a devotee doesn't care so much about the nature of the material energy or liberation from the material energy. Devotee's only interest is actually to serve Krishna, and while serving Sri Krishna by helping to reclaim fallen souls back to the spiritual world, a devotee always constantly meditates upon the Supreme Lord. Therefore we see in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna advised Arjuna, you always perform your prescribed duty and at the same time you think of me in this form. Arjuna's duty was the same as any Vaishnava, and that is to reclaim the fallen souls. In his capacity he acted as a Kshatriya, ruling, help assisting Yudhisthira and the other Pandavas to rule the world in such a way that everyone can become Krishna conscious, have that opportunity foremost, and that the demoniac influences would be, you know, squashed out of their kingdom like that. So, but while he was performing that activity of reclaiming the conditioned souls, Krishna advised, you always think of my form. You know, not the form of Maya. Well, hey, you must think of the form of the Supreme Lord. Chant the holy name of the Lord like this. So, a devotee is actually, they have no other desire except, in fact, to serve the Supreme Lord, and they're not even interested in liberation. Therefore, we see that Mukundadat, who was a great devotee of the Lord, who appeared in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he prayed to the Lord that you let all of the conditioned souls within this universe, you let them all become liberated and go back to the spiritual world, and I will stay here in the material world and accept all of their sinful reactions. Shows in the nature of Vaishnava. You know, sometimes one person may become, sometimes even devotees may become a little intolerant of another devotee. You see here, you know, it's a Vaishnava, but you know, it doesn't matter what trouble you cause me, my only desire is that you go back to the spiritual world. And I'm prepared to accept unlimited trouble on behalf of every living entity, as long as it's somehow, if it's helpful for you, but my only desire is to help you go back to the spiritual world. So you imagine, you know, a devotee such as that, Mukundadat, you know, intermingling in a temple like this, you would never hear any complaints. Oh, I can't tolerate this one and I can't. Yes, let me accept whatever difficulty, whatever suffering, millions and millions of fold. But as long as I can help you to go back to the spiritual world, there's no difficulty for me. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that, you know, by your desire, you know, that will be. So be it. But then he explained that actually, you know, this universe is just one universe. And he gave the example, just as if you buy, you know, a large sack of mustard seeds. You know, so some, you pick up the sack of mustard seeds, you throw it onto your cart, and if one little mustard seed, you know, rolls off and onto the ground, you don't even consider it. You don't even look, even half a dozen, a couple of dozen, doesn't bother you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that this universe is like this one little. There's so many universes, so many unlimited universes. Like this. So he said, you know, it's not, in other words, sometimes people, you know, think, what will happen, you know, how can that be? If everyone in the universe goes back to Godhead, you know, at that particular time, that Mukundadatta was there, you know, what will happen to the universe? There are so many conditioned souls to fill up. You know, people think, what will happen? Will everything stop? But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, it's not difficult. That's the point. That, you know, that is not difficult for me to fulfill that desire of yours. So many universes, so many conditioned souls, we empty out this one, so many conditioned souls to come. So, in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled the request of Mukundadat. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that actually this, all of these universes, if you take them all together, they consist of only one quarter of the manifestation of the Supreme Lord. And actually, if you take the whole spiritual and material worlds compared, actually the spiritual manifestation is in proportion of three quarters compared to the one quarter of the material manifestation. Like this. So, one time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he used to write this like a magazine type called Nadi Vikasa, a daily newspaper about the activities of the spiritual life, the spiritual world. So one person came to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and said, that, you know, how can you, you know, what is the need for such a paper? You know, what will you write about? It's like, you know, your paper will, you know, go for 1 or 2 days, and, you know, after, you know, what is there to tell about, to talk about? And, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he told that story of Mukundadat and explained that, you know, within the one quarter, in other words, the insignificant part of the Lord's creation, here there are many, many planets. And on those many, many planets, this Earth planet is one tiny little planet within the universe. And in this tiny little planet within this universe, there are many countries. And one little country amongst all those countries is this India. And here, there are so many cities, and within all these cities, there is this this city, within the city there is this particular part of the city, and even here daily, you know, there are so many newspapers about the material energy, the activities of the material energy. In fact, you know, we see that, you know, in part of the world, you know, like in Melbourne, you know, you get the morning paper, and you get the, you know, when I was a child, I used to, as much anymore, they used to come out with the Sun or the Herald, and you get the morning edition, you get the sort of, there was a mid-morning edition, and you get a lunchtime edition, you get an evening edition as you're coming home from work, like this, yeah, so that, you know, just that they used to have different editions. So even the one paper. So in this way, you know, and there are so many, you know, if you go to the news agents, you know, racks and racks and racks, so many papers, a lot of them about one, you know, particular place. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, you know, he described that, you know, if there's so much you can write and hear and talk about, the insignificant activities, of the, not even the whole material energy, just this one little speck within it, then, you know, how do you doubt that I can fill up a newspaper every single day with the activities of the spiritual world? And of course, that is the business of a devotee. Is that, you know, already people's minds are fixed on the material energy, even just to an insignificant portion. And the devotee, their business is to help them to fix their mind upon the Lord's name, form, fame, qualities, and pastimes, of which, you know, the activities, a devotee can, you know, every single day, all day, for their entire life, for millions and millions of years, if we stayed in the material world forever and just preached, we could actually be describing something new and fresh every time we speak to somebody. So much, you know, the Lord's names, the different pastimes, activities. Even if we take this one pastime, this one pastime with Markandeya Rishi, you know, it's very, very unusual. You know, we just, you know, we go through and our Bhagavatam classes and we get a bit of an idea. But actually, there's so much even to this pastime that we can discuss and talk about. You know, Markandeya Rishi, imagine, you know, just meditating upon that sort of a personality that you live for an entire day, you know, a couple of days of Brahma. You know, imagine his qualities that, you know, we might get impatient if something doesn't happen in 5 minutes, or, you know, one day we have some little disturbance. Imagine, you know, floating around in the, you know, the waters of devastation, in the waves going up and down, splashing, and like this, and just, you know, another hundred years, imagine the qualities, whereas, you know, ourselves, you know, just a little fluctuation in our circumstances, and all, oh, so disturbed, you know, all over. I'm giving up Krishna consciousness. Like this. So, you know, there is so much we can actually derive from this wonderful pastime. And then, you know, there's Krishna's reciprocation, you know, Krishna himself floating out there, you know, on a banyan leaf with his, you know, sucking on his toe. You know, it's quite a, you can meditate upon that. And so, in this way, actually, a devotee, they don't, there's so much nectar in Krishna consciousness, and a devotee actually becomes, in one sense, like Markandeya Rishi, a devotee's mood is that, yeah, I may be here for millions and millions of births. Let's not rush through our service today, because I may be doing this for the next so many millions and millions of lifetimes. And I'm happy to do it. sometimes we're racing to, you know, we have some goal, oh, I must take Brahman, you know, I must become a genius, I must do this, like we're racing towards that, you know, don't worry too much about, you know, this is the mood of a devotee, is that, you know, for millions and millions and millions and millions of births, if I stay in the material world forever, that is Krishna's desire. If Krishna wants me to stay here and preach Krishna consciousness, yeah, we'll do that this lifetime, we'll do that next lifetime. And there's so much nectar to absorb oneself in the different pastimes of here this is one pastime. And what to speak of Krishna's pastimes. Even one of Krishna's pastimes makes, you know, many of the other pastimes, you know, just finding that inconceivable. And when you begin to meditate on Krishna's pastimes, it just becomes more wonderful. Not only inconceivable and wonderful, but sweet. And just like people are trying to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's one Vaishnava. He says, understand God. What sort of a goal is that? I'm trying to understand Nanda Maharaj. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is crawling around like a little baby in his courtyard for his pleasure. What to speak of understanding God? Is it possible we can come to understand Nanda Maharaj? Yes, and you know his mood of service, because you know the mood of service of the Vaishnavas is parental relationship. Generally devotees, they depend upon the Lord, the servant master, in so many different ways. But in some of the comparative relationships, such as parentalhood and conjugal love, the devotee wants to do everything. No, dear Lord, you just depend on me. I'll do everything. I don't want to take anything from you. I have no desire for anything except your personal happiness. You depend on me. And therefore, such is their position that they take a superior position. Krishna allows them to take a superior position where they can even chastise the Lord in their mood of wanting to care for him nicely. He must do what they say as they're caring for him. And they don't want him to disturb that by being prankster and mischievous as he is. But of course Krishna is mischievous, and that gives him great joy. Of this, and Srimati Radharani would also sometimes become angry at Krishna. Like this, so in this way, what to speak of the unlimited incarnations whose pastimes are inconceivable, who are actually different aspects of Krishna's own personality. Manifesting each of the various incarnations is actually just representing some portion of Krishna's qualities to some degree. But Krishna is manifesting, that's why we call him Krishna, because he is all attractive. He manifests fully all of his qualities to an unlimited, complete degree. So a devotee is quite happy to become, and should, a devotee should be absorbed, because there is so much to be absorbed in. The pastimes of Krishna, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and all his expansions and all his activities and his dealings with material creation, they are all very, very wonderful and very inconceivable. And the devotee is quite happy to spend, they don't care about anything else except always remembering and being absorbed in the Supreme Lord in a mood of serving the Supreme Lord. The Lord actually would prefer us to come to that point rather than, with so much available for us to absorb our mind in Krishna, he's not so happy that unnecessarily, you know, we just fix our mind on anything, you know, with different manifestations of the material potency. It's not required, unnecessarily be done. But certainly we can understand the workings of material energy in order to understand the glories of the Lord and in order to preach Krishna consciousness. I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions. Yeah, that's the inconceivable nature of Krishna. That you know, when Krishna, in essence, when the living entity associates with Krishna, they're on the same absolute platform of Krishna. So therefore, they're able to act like Krishna. So we see that when Krishna went to one province and at the same time there was one Brahmana, Shudadev, and then one king, it was Bahulasra and Shudadev, I'm not sure which was which. They both invited him to their home. Krishna was travelling with several very important sages, including the Sukadeva Goswami and what have you. And he decided that he would go to both their homes at the same time. So, at the same time, he and the same group of sages went to Bhagavastra's house, and he and the same group of sages went to Shrivadev's house, and no one could understand what he was doing. So, you know, that is Krishna's inconceivable potency. That how is it that Sukadeva Goswami, you know, so we can understand Krishna has expanded, but all those other sages actually just acted on the same platform of Krishna. Yes, we will also both go to two different homes at the same time and act in the same way. So Krishna's activities are quite inconceivable. And you know, when Krishna would you know, be with his 16,108 wives, so he was with them together at the same time. But of course, when he left home to go to the Sudama assembly house, only one Krishna went to the Sudama. So, you know, how does Krishna organize that he's walking out the palace of 16,108 wives and all the children all farewelling him, but they only ever see, you know, one, and all the citizens of Dwarka watching, but only one Krishna is seen, you know, going to the Sudama hall. Krishna's pastimes are so inconceivable. So, the jivas, the living entities who associate with him, exist on the same transcendental. Therefore, you know, the living entities and his devotees, understanding Krishna is very difficult. Understanding his associates, that's what that devotee was saying. I'm trying to understand Krishna. That is, that's going to take millions and millions of lifetimes to even just, you know, get a small taste of understanding. But his devotees are doing something which is, makes them on another inconceivable platform. Therefore, you know, Lord Krishna appeared as the Panchatattva. Lord Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, Shivas, and Lord in order to demonstrate that the Lord eternally exists with five, you know, eternal truths, you know, his own self, his you know, expansion, and his avatars, his spiritual energy and marginal energy. They eternally exist with the Lord. He's never separated from them, And the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, therefore, is full of unlimited variety and unlimited taste and nectar because of that variety of the manifestations of the Supreme Lord. Devotees, by chanting Hare Krishna, they can enter into that tasting the variety and the rasas of, you know, the manifestations of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. And Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is, you know, saying you don't need to meditate upon my material energy, you know, for many, many lifetimes. Just once chant Hare Krishna. You know, that's what Krishna would prefer. You know, rather than, you know, trying to speculate and understand my, even his material energy is inconceivable. You know, what to speak of the spiritual energy? Rather than try to, you know, understand even the material energy, you chant Hare Krishna, and by Lord Chaitanya's grace, everything you need to know in order to relish spiritual life right here and now and for all eternity, whether you're in the material world or the spiritual world, that will be yours. And that's the inconceivable mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai, all worship, Prabhupada.